Archbishop Cukejo, Bishop Rosansky, and Bishop Madden, all the provincial, dear jubilarians, my confreres, family, and friends. Those of you who know me are probably asking yourselves one of two things right now. Is he going to start off with one of his lousy imitations? Or worse yet, is he going to give us one of his terrible puns that nobody laughs at but himself? And I must admit, at one point, I was tempted to do both. But thankfully, with the grace of God, that was a temptation I was able to overcome. But if any of you are interested in how I entertained myself when I spent 6 months in isolation, receiving chemotherapy, and recovering from a bone marrow transplant, see me later. I promise I won't let you down. When the provincial asked me some months ago if I would preach at this Jubilee celebration, my first thoughts had to do with whether I would have the strength and stamina to get through it. I've spent more time in the hospital in the last 2 years since I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of leukemia known as ALL than I would care to remember. And I knew that once finally out, I would probably have a very long recovery period ahead of me that would involve months, if not years, of pills, medical tests, doctor's visits, living with uncertainty, and of course, the possibility of a relapse. I said yes to the provincial's request, not knowing what I would say during the homily, if I would have enough strength to say it, or even if I would be alive to say it. I said yes, first of all, because we all know that how hard it is to say no to Ken and Molly, but also because I knew that if I were able to do it, it would be my way of expressing in a public forum my gratitude to my confreres for their prayers and support all during my illness. I can't tell you how much those prayers and support have meant to me all during my struggle with leukemia. The fact that I am alive and standing here in your presence to celebrate this great day of Jubilee with you is, to my mind, a symbol of the fellowship we share by virtue of being confreres, literally brothers with Christ and with one another, in this worldwide missionary order founded some 280 years ago. And I stand here to profess and express my gratitude to God for life, for our redemptorist vocation, and for the fellowship we share as brothers in Christ and sons of St. Alphonsus. When you think about it, gratitude is what this Jubilee celebration is all about. We gather together each year as Redemptorists, priests, and religious to give thanks to God with our confreres, family, and friends for the wonderful way he has worked in our lives from the day we first took our vows as professed religious, and in a special way when the oil of chrism marked us on that day long, long ago as priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We give thanks to God for our redemptorist vocation, which has allowed us as priests and brothers to live the charism of preaching the good news to the poor and most abandoned throughout the world. We give thanks to God for using these fragile earthen vessels to proclaim his glory and extend his love to those in need. This particular group of jubilarians, some 35 and representing 25, 40, 50, 60, 65, and 70 years of priesthood or religious profession, has done so as foreign and home missionaries, retreat masters, pastors, parish priests, prefects of the sick and aging, procurators and financial managers, military chaplains, high school and college chaplains, teachers, confessors, and spiritual directors in places both far away and close to home, places like Brazil, Paraguay, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, the United States Virgin Islands, Dominica, St. Lucia, and other islands of the English-speaking Caribbean, Vietnam, Iraq, various parts of Europe and Asia, and innumerable places in the United States, all along the eastern seaboard, from the deep south to the northeast, and in points west and northwest as far away as California, Idaho, and Alaska. And we take this moment to look back with gratitude for the way the Lord has worked in their lives and used them to touch the lives of thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children. We give gratitude to God for the way He worked through them at times, even in spite of themselves, to help people open up their hearts to God and receive the plentiful redemption that He has prepared for them since the beginning of time. We look back on all that they have done in the past 25, 40, 50, 60, 65, 70 years. The masses celebrated, the homilies and mission sermons preached, the classes taught, the people catechized, the confessions heard, the baptisms and marriages performed, the dead prayed for and buried, the grieving hearts comforted and consoled, and recognize that in the end, it has all been a work of God, and that they have been the ones that He has chosen to be instruments of His grace and heralds of His word. We turn to Him this day with gratitude in our hearts. We thank Him for each of the jubilarians present here today, and those who are not able to make it because of the long distance or restrictions of health, for the simple yes to God that resounded in their hearts many years ago that has made it all possible. We remember in a special way Father Edwin Foley, who died just a few months ago and who was celebrating his 65th anniversary as a priest and his 70th year as a religious. And although Father Ed is the only jubilarian I will mention by name in this homily, and I wish I had time to say something about each of the jubilarians, he, to my mind, represents the epitome of what it means for someone to live his life with a deep sense of gratitude. Gratitude is what made him live his long life as though he were 91 years young. And it is what enabled him to grow old gracefully with a deep awareness of God's presence as he approached the twilight of his life on earth and the beginning of a new life with God in the life beyond. As Ronald Rolheiser so eloquently puts it, to be a saint is to be fueled by gratitude, nothing more and nothing less. We are all grateful for Father Ed's life, his witness to living a life with gratitude. And together, we express our gratitude for the lives and witness of his classmates and all the jubilarians who are celebrating today. Our readings this morning are those of the day. They are what is being read this day at masses celebrated throughout the world in just about every language imaginable. They are appropriate for today's celebration, not only because of the message they bear and the way they apply to today's Jubilee celebration, but also because they represent the readings of ordinary time and remind us that the challenge of faithful discipleship lies in the faithful execution of our responsibilities in daily life. Our first reading from Isaiah gives us the prophet's vocation story. It describes a vision Isaiah has of God's holiness and majesty, one which is so great that he is overwhelmed by a deep sense of his own unworthiness and is able to respond to God's call only because an angel of the Lord purifies him by holding a burning ember to his lips to remove his wickedness and purge him of his sin. And when the voice of the Lord rings out, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" the response resonates from deep within the prophet's soul. "Here I am, Lord, send me." My dear confreres, our calling, our vocation to the priesthood and religious life began with a dream we had long, long ago of serving God as Redemptorist missionaries. And over time, that dream has weaved itself into the very fabric of our lives to become a part of our identity and the way we think of ourselves. And that dream has burned in our hearts for a long time, purified us in ways we know not, and enabled us to say yes, not once, but many times over, to the Lord and his request to work in his vineyard. It is what has enabled us to pick up our roots and set them down where we were most needed at the time. It is what has kept us going all through the years, in good times and in bad, when healthy and when ill, in our youth and in our old age. That dream, that vision, is shared by all Redemptorists, is what makes us all missionaries, no matter where we are, how old we are, or what our apostolate may be. Our gospel from Matthew reminds us that Jesus is the master and head of our household, and that because of him, we have nothing to fear. This fearlessness is one of the marks of a true Redemptorist. It is what enables us to take on great challenges and not count the cost. It is what enables us to take risks in ministry and to try to do great things for the Lord, even when it simply means, like our beloved St. John Newman, doing simple, ordinary things in an extraordinary way. It is what enables us to be true disciples, men willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, in the spirit of St. Alphonsus, and a host of other Redemptorists who have gone before us. It is what enables us to embrace the crosses that life brings us with open and willing hearts. It is what enables us to face the challenges of life and death with courage. It is what enables us to persevere, and to do so with an open spirit, and yes, with a deep sense of gratitude to God for our vocations, our Redemptorist family, and the people we serve. This passage from Matthew's Gospel also reminds us that in the end, when all is said and done, everything is in God's hands. Are not two sparrows sold for next to nothing? Yet not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, every hair on your head has been counted. Believe me, I know. And so do not be afraid of anything. You are worth more than an entire flock of sparrows. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. These words of Jesus were repeated many times throughout his public ministry, and especially when he spoke to his disciples after his resurrection. They remind us that no matter how difficult the circumstances and no matter how dark the prospects may seem, fear has no hold over us, because Jesus has stared down the forces of evil has taken everything they could throw at him and has come out on the other side of death, alive, full of hope, and living in a glorious, transformed, and resurrected state. And because of this, we live with the knowledge and hope that our destiny under the Father's providential care will be the same as his. I don't think it is an accident that on this day of our Redemptorist Jubilee celebration, the Church is also celebrating the feast of Blessed Kateri Tekawita, the Lily of the Mohawks, the first Native American to be beatified by the Church, and who will be canonized by Pope Benedict in October of this year. I say this because even though she lived and died long before the founding of our congregation, our original purpose in coming to America was to evangelize the Native American peoples. And although our missionary activity soon led us to serve the burgeoning immigrant population of the United States, and then on to other mission lands and other areas of the Americas, both north and south and beyond, she is the epitome of metanoia, the fundamental conversion and change of heart that characterizes Redemptorist preaching and which lies at the very heart of our charism. And although the focus of our missionary efforts has changed over the years, from Native Americans to German, then to Irish immigrants, to Hispanics, to the inner city, to the English-speaking Caribbean and elsewhere, our desire to serve the needs of the poor and the neglected remains ever firm and steadfast. And although our numbers may have dwindled and the hairs on our head graying, although some of us may need assistance getting around and may even be confined to bed, although some of us can no longer serve in the very active way we once used to, it is important for us to remember that our missionary activity was, is, and always will be done in and through community, and that the prayers and sufferings we undergo in the twilight of our lives for the missionary task of the congregation are an integral part of who we are and what we do. We are members of a missionary congregation, and I think it is important for us to remember that the Lord is always sending us somewhere, not only to the people we serve, but to each other, those we have lived with through the years, those we have prayed with, laughed with, fought with, been Redemptorist priests and religious with. As the old saying goes, there are two types of people in the world, the saints and the saint makers. Well, the Lord knows we have both kinds in Redemptorist community. And if we are honest, we will probably recognize a bit of both in each of us. But our deepest longing, the desire that moved us to become Redemptorists and to set us out on a missionary journey through life and into the beyond, is to become holy, to become saints, to live lives fueled by gratitude. Gratitude means that we have a certain attitude towards grace. It means that with the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, we become increasingly aware that in the end, all is grace. That everything comes from the watchful, ever-guiding hand of a benevolent care of a loving God. It means thanking God for all things, for as the Apostle Paul reminds us, he makes all things work together for good for those who love him. It means, in the words of Jean-Pierre de Caussade, abandoning ourselves to divine providence, trusting in the Lord's loving and watchful care over our lives from one moment to the next. It means living in the here and now, in celebrating the sacrament of the present moment. And so we give thanks to God today for the many gifts and favors he has bestowed on us throughout our lives. We give thanks to God this day for the congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer and its mission in the church. We give thanks to God this day for our province and all the missions it has conducted throughout the course of the last 180 years. We give thanks to God this day for our redemptorist vocations, for those who have gone before us, and for those who will follow in our footsteps. And most especially, we give thanks to God this day for our jubilarians, whose lives, dedication, and perseverance in the redemptorist charism we celebrate. In closing, let us take to heart the words the Lord speaks to each of his disciples in the book of Revelation. It is already done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water from the well of life, free to anybody who is thirsty. It is the rightful inheritance of the one who proves victorious, and I will be his God, and he a son to me. As we move forward, let us keep our eyes fixed on the one thing that matters, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us be grateful for the great communion of saints, both living and dead, who intercede for us, lift us up, and welcome us into their fellowship. Let us be grateful for the foretaste of heaven that we enjoy by the virtue of being members of the Redemptorist family. And let us keep the words of St. Alphonsus close to our hearts. I am certain that Jesus has prepared a beautiful place in paradise for all those who live and die in the congregation. Mary, the Queen of Heaven, Our Lady of Good Counsel, Our Mother of Perpetual Help, pray for us.